This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 639 with Jeff C., recorded on March 6th, 2025. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation. All for the Average Tech Guy. I'm your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios. Here in a getting better, Jeff, we had a snowstorm that rained, ice, snow. Not a good combo. Oh, you're down in Texas, so...
We had the storms come through, and it was not pretty. I mean, it was very windy. We lost power, but we didn't have the...
You guys always lose power. Yeah, do you have a generator? Do you have a backup generator?
I have a generator that I can wheel out, and so my fridge doesn't go out. I really want one of those natural gas ones that'll kick over.
Yeah.
They're like $7,000-$8,000.
They are. There's cheaper ways. Maybe we'll have you next time. We'll have you on, and I'll coach you through
getting it.
Okay. $2,000 or $3,000 solution. Are you wiring? Can you do home wiring at all?
Yes, but I hate it. Plumbing scares the crap out of me. Mm. I just don't.
No, I understand. Well, maybe we'll do a show at some point. I walk through mine. During the storm, it's all ready to go. I'm waiting on a 15-gallon tank to come. That's the backup, like the secondary tank, so that I can get, let's just say 15, 20 hours worth of running at a time. And that's enough. You know, you go get more gas or whatever and fill that thing up. And now that it's set, we had the storm. I was wishing the power would go out. And everybody went out around us.
Not you.
No, I have guaranteed single-handedly I'll never lose power again
because now that you've bought one.
It's in a cart. I can wheel it out there. It's easy to plug in. Yeah, it's an increase. Anyways, we'll post a show out there with some world-class show notes out at theaverageguy.tv. Big thank to our Patreon subscribers each and every month. Those of you who contribute, we just have one $5 plan. If you want to join the team, head out to theaverageguy.tv/Patreon and then if you're heading out to theaverageguy.tv, I have this link, which I can never remember what I've written out there, but tonight I looked it up. So if you go out to theaverageguy.tv, upper right-hand corner, it says, as an Amazon, there we go. As an Amazon associate, I earn from qualifying purchases. It's red. If you click on that, benefits the network. Check it out today. If you're going to go to Amazon anyways and you want to help us out, just swing through theaverageguy.tv, click on that link, and it will take care of it. As well. And then big thanks to Jay Franzi, who joined me last week. Really enjoyed that guy, enjoyed that conversation. And so, Jay, thanks for joining us. Jeff C is here. Jeff C, and it's C is spelled S E I H. So if you go
I E H,
did I say E I?
Yeah, I'm for E, especially.
I meant I E. Sorry. I've had an old fashioned. Thanks for clarifying that. Jeff S I E H .com. And give us an idea for folks who maybe have not gone out and heard you before. What's your podcast flavor? What do you do?
Yeah, so I do a live show every Friday at 10 a.m. Central. It turns into podcast, live video, all the the clips and everything. We talk about it's Social Media News Live on Facebook and the podcast. We're in the middle of a rebrand to Creator News Live, which is over on YouTube, because I think social media has a negative connotation. So we're talking about things that impact the creator economy. Tomorrow we're talking about live video. This guy does Alec Johnson, he does one take kind of content, which is great. He does, his studio is awesome, and he has all these techniques and teaches how to set all this stuff up. So it's going to be a good show. We've had that. We've had people, I mentioned Jay Baer in the pre-show. He's been on before. So we get all sorts of creators and pretty much pick their brain for an hour, which is a lot of fun. And we got a couple weeks ago, Justin Moore was kind of a big deal in the sponsor game, where he actually teaches you how to get sponsors. So that was a great show. So stuff in that vein. It's a lot of fun. So I'm doing that. Also been speaking about a lot, which we're going to talk about today, a lot of AI stuff. I'll be talking at Social Media Marketing World about creating AI and images. And I'm speaking with that at CAX this year. So it's a pretty fun little topic.
Lots of AI usage in the podcasting space. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Some about, you come out and hang out with me on Saturday mornings with Dave Jackson. And we do Ask the Podcast Coach. The other day I was mentioning, I feel like we're on level one of AI, which is like these big AI models. And I've been on this show, I've mentioned I've been using LM Studios, which is a software application both for PC and Mac. You can download it And then you really have that, it allows you to have access to most of the open source LLMs that are out there. You can just download them and try them, which is kind of super cool. And that led me, I was listening to a conversation, I think on Windows Weekly, which you wouldn't think would be a, you know, an AI show, but I think Paul Thrott mentioned something about the modularization of AI and how the magic, I think, in the future is not in giant models, but in many small models that are interact with each other, right? And then you're like, oh, hey, I'm working on some AI stuff. And I was like, okay, let's talk about it. So, Jeff, what drew you to it? I know we're from a social media, from a marketing standpoint. I mean, we're talking about it at work. I work in marketing, you know, for a full-time job. But what got you into that?
So I actually, so one of the things that our company does too is we also produce a lot of video and podcasts for other people. So not only mine, but our other big one that we do like 8 for Agora Pulse, which is a social media, social listening kind of tool. We do all their podcasts. And also do Guy Kawasaki's podcast, which he used to work for Apple, you know, and so I've been doing his for 4 years. And when we started with that, he wanted to use this tool, because it's Guy Kawasaki, called Descript. And it was right fresh out of the gate. So I've been using Descript for editing and actually have a little course on that. But I've been using it since 4 years ago is when I started Guy's podcast. And so I've seen how content creation has improved with AI, like my whole editing, the way I edit, like, and I've been editing video. That's what I, way back in the day, I had a company. We did live, we did a lot of video editing, you know, corporate videos and stuff. So I was like, I had Premiere like 2, I think it was. I mean, I've been in the Adobe ecosystem for a long time, but Descript came along. It changed everything the way we edit. Like it's, you know, if you haven't used it, it's like a text-based editor. You move pieces of text around and now they have it. So the AI will actually go in and, you know, you can clean up filler words. You can actually have your eyes lock on the screen. It have an eye contact thing. So if you look the right way or you have, you're reading from a teleprompter or whatever, it'll focus your eyes. We have clients that use that all the time. So they keep getting these new and new tools. And so that led me, I've always been visual based. I mean, I started way back, you know, teaching people on Pinterest and other platforms, visual kind of marketing. And so as this kind of grew, the AI did, it just fascinated me that being able to create images and how it's gotten better and better and better. And what excites me so much about this time that we're in is I've been a graphic designer, but I mean, I take stuff that I find clip art or, you know, stock photos and I can manipulate it and make an image that you can send out on a post or something, but I've never been able to take what's in my head and put it out and create something. And now we're able to do this with AI, like with Midjourney and, you know, DALL-E and even Adobe Express, all these different platforms. And so that has really opened up things too. And then, so I wanted to build my own. So we'll talk about it, but I built my own PC to run all this stuff on. So it's just so, it's moving so fast, but it's so exciting. And as a creator and as a creative, it just kind of opens up a lot of things that we can do.
What do you think, Jeff, from let's wax philosophically here for a second. When do you think this, I mean, we're making, this is like when the PC came out and we had 286, 386, 486, Pentium, Pentium 2s, Pentium 3s, Pentium 4s. Like, and it was literally every year, maybe faster than that, they kept, I mean, we were just screaming. You bought a 486 and it was already out of date, you know,
right.
90 days later, right?
Right.
With AI, what do you feel like? I mean, these things just keep coming. Do you think, where do you see, or do you think we have to plateau at some point, but I don't know. Any thoughts on that? Of like,
well, it's kind of like, I can see how it is, you know, even, you know, back in your big businesses would have the server rooms. They started building the server rooms out and everything. You could have your own PC, but if you wanted to do huge networking stuff, you had to have a server and, you know, networking and all that stuff. I think it's the same way here. I built a AI PC that is incredible, but you know, it's limited to what it can do. If you want to do some really heavy number crunching, you've got to have like a PC with multiple graphic cards, and that's going to lead to, you know, servers. And I mean, so I think there's going to always be the you know, the industry stuff, and then also the stuff you can do at home. But the cool stuff you were talking about this at the beginning is these distilled models where you can take the big model and download what, 4 gigs or whatever,
four to five gig.
Yeah. Of the model and run it on your own local thing. Train it the way you want, not worry about privacy. Like I'm running DeepSeek over on this thing because it works really well, but it doesn't send anything off. It's locked into this box, which is very, very cool. And like you were mentioning before, being able to play with those different models. So
what are you using? What software are you using to run the models?
I use Ollama.
Okay. So you're going native, kind of the Ollama.
Yeah. I want to try the one that you mentioned, the Elm Studio. And there's another one that there's like three big ones that people are using. Yeah. My thing is next, I've got the DeepSeek and everything running great. I want to do the image base where I can go in and train my own models and do some, I use Midjourney almost exclusively, but I want to try some other stuff with my own.
Okay, everybody's screaming at me because we're a hardware. I mean, this podcast was built on hardware. Right? Yeah. So talk a little bit of what'd you pick up? What are you doing? What have you built?
So it's I'll tell you, I am totally the average guy. This is perfect for me.
Yeah.
I don't nerd out totally on stuff. I see what's working and I like look at like Tom's guide and go, yeah, I kind of want that and I want that and I can afford this. That's kind of what I did with this. I've always been able to go into my PC and pull out and replace the, you know, memory or hard drive or whatever, but I've never built one from the beginning. I went Mac a couple years ago when I really started that. And so I had a PC, but it was just kind of there. I just didn't use it, but it's been fun to get back into this. So I bought this, it's a height case. It's a height Y70 touch case, which is basically an aquarium because I wanted to be able to have enough room because this was my first build. I want to have enough stuff, you know, to do that with.
You have a picture of it? I mean, do you,
so I can actually, let me turn off my lights so you guys can I, so it won't be doing it. So I'm going to go and switch to my PC. So this, so it's actually, I built it.
That and is
I
have an it all, aquarium. Holy bucket.
But I have it set up as my Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, look at that.
I've got over here, I've got like Darth Vader. And
yeah. Kind of, but you have action for okay, yeah. Hold on. For the audio only folks, you've got this case has a screen on it. You've got Star Wars playing. It's got you got two different screens going. You got action figures inside the case.
Right. And also the on the fans, it's LED, and so I can actually put whatever inside of the fan.
Yeah, you've got LED monitor. You basically have a monitor in each of those fans.
And this I actually edited myself because it's a tight thing. So I went and found clips and I just kind of built this screen server. And it's actually a touch screen. So I can actually move over and touch this. And you can launch stuff from it. There's actually a game I could play Tetris on it if I wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
But I nerded. And then, you know, this got all the lights. You can't buy a PC anymore without lights. But anyway.
Right.
So that is my baby.
What's a case like that run?
It was like $300.
Okay.
I think well, that's not something. Terrible. But I mean, listen, I'm to the age, I'm 52. I've always wanted to do this.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to pull out all the spots. I'm going to do what I want. And it's, you know, it's a AI case. It's also a PC gaming case. I usually don't have the Star Wars stuff set up. I kind of turned that all on for you guys tonight.
I like it. You could do it. That's the thing.
I have a thing too that I want to do an Indiana Jones themed one, like with a little action figure in there. And I can change all the lighting and I can change that thing at the beginning. And so anyway, nerded out on that. So it's an AMD. So it's got the Ryzen 7950. 3D, X3D in it. So it's a 16 core, 32 thread.
Mm-hmm.
So it streams. This is the first one too that I've ever put a liquid cooling system in. So it's that all-in-one. It's super easy to install. It has a radiator. So it's got positive pressure coming in. So those three in the back are actually the reverse blade fans. So they're actually pulling air in. I have three fans at the bottom pushing air up. One in the back and then also the radiator. So there's positive pressure going in. So it keeps really cool. And they're
dust out too.
By the way. And this case has really good one cable management and two, it really keeps things up in there and it has like dust collecting. So it's not just shooting up into your case. Right. And so I did a bunch of research on cases and it's a monster. It's not a small case. by any means, but
it's giant.
I wanted to have enough room to mess like around.
Yeah. So how much RAM did you buy for it?
64. Okay. Like there are two sticks of.
I'd upgrade that to. Does the board support 128?
Yeah, it does.
I just do it now. Yeah, I just do it now. You're good. Just do it now.
So what I was doing is, I would go through, and the cool thing is I'm an Amazon influencer, so all this stuff I can do and write off, and
sure,
you know, I can do videos for.
Yeah.
But I would buy stuff when it was on sale. Like this is like a 6 month process. The graphics card. Took
what,
forever.
What'd you put in there? What was the graphics card?
The 4090. The 4090. Okay. So, you know, I told you, it's like.
That's so great. Okay. Okay.
And I was even like, should I send that back and try to, but I couldn't get the new 5090s.
No, you're actually, the 4090 is probably better.
And they're also, they're having some hot, you know, heat issues they and are. Some other yeah. things. And so yeah. I'm like, I'm glad this one. But it screams. Like when I play games, there's no hiccups. There's no drag. There's it's, and I put everything on ultra. Quality. It's awesome. I had
what'd you use for hard drive?
Hard drive. Yeah. I have the stick, the flash memory.
Yeah. NVMe.
Yeah. I've got 4 terabytes, 2 terabytes, and then I have another 2, which is not the stick. It's kind of I picked it up another just you know SSD. So
yeah, I have 2 slots, 2 NVMe slots in the one I bought. You could buy them with more. I think you can get up to 4 or 5. And I put two 1 terabytes. Maybe they're 2 1 terabytes. And I think with the AI models, I think I want to upgrade one of those to a 4 terabyte and all the models go. Because it doesn't take long. You know, you start downloading these models and then... Pretty soon you're like, oh, I wish I had a little more space.
This is the first time I've never had a platter spin kind of disk in a computer.
Oh, you put a spinner in there?
No, I haven't. But I mean, it's the first computer I've not had a single
drive.
Yeah.
So all solid state. That's pretty sweet.
So, and I've really been impressed with the Asus. I got the ROG motherboard and I really like it.
It's hard. Really like it. It's a good, the Asus is making really good boards. That's what I have too. And I like what they're doing.
Yeah. It's, cool. The light stuff. I mean, but you can't buy anything that doesn't have lights on it now.
I mean, like, you can, you just got to work hard.
Right. It's hard to do. And I was like, why not? I might as well do it. I might as well, I don't have a hot car that I, you know, trick out. So I'll do my computer.
Yeah, my problem is whiskey. I do. I have whiskey that I buy that keeps me. No, I built ones with no lights. It doesn't have a lot of fans in it. So it's, you know, it's a gaming case and it doesn't have a lot of fans. So you can do it. It just takes a little.
I have the fans at the bottom don't have any lights on them. I could have done that everywhere, but
no, it's okay. It looks cool. It's super cool. The fact you could. Have a monitor on your case that you could be streaming things to. Can it be used as a monitor or do you have to, can you only,
I can drag stuff over just like in Windows. I can do whatever.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And it's touch screen.
Showed that to me.
It's pretty cool, man. And they actually, you can buy the case where that kind of that triangle kind of corner thing is just glass. And a lot of people would do that. And then they buy this thing to upgrade to it. But then they added this option where you can just get it. And so, it was so popular, they ran out of those LCD screens, those touch LCD screens in the country. And so there's a back order and I just hit it at the right time to get those. So
you'll have to, if you think about it, send me the link to the case so I can throw it. Cause the parts are fairly, they're fairly generic,
right?
But the case is amazing.
I have been very impressed with it. It was super easy to get to. Cable management. I like these 2-stage where you have everything neat and then you can just have all the crap like hidden all your wires and stuff in the back.
Yeah.
And this is the first time those fans are actually wireless fans. Now you have to tie them in there, but they're controlled wirelessly.
You have a fan controller that's wireless for that?
It's wireless that still plugs in, but you can actually have a dongle that goes in the back. I opted to put it inside of the case so I don't have a dongle that I could break off or whatever.
For sure.
So
yeah. No, nice. Yeah. So overkill, but
totally.
Maybe not actually. Like when we think about, okay, for gaming, you're set, like you're in pretty good shape, right?
Awesome.
When it comes to that. But I think, have you, okay, so with these AI models that you've been downloading and running, have you gotten to the point, this is where I got, where it was like, Yeah, that one's not going to run on your configuration. Has that happened yet?
I don't know if it's a Reddit thread or something, but I found a place where it gives you the most newest models and tells you how much and what you need to run it. Because since I have a 4090, a lot of that stuff will run on, I get to that level. It breaks. You have this card. These are the models you can use. And so I just kind of went off that. That's why I got the DeepSeek. I think it's R8 or something. It's kind of, it's not the highest one, but it's the one down there. And I haven't noticed anything tricky with that. It's going to be interesting when I do the imaging because those have a little more oomph, I think.
I'll need to follow you on the imaging things because I have not, so far, a lot of the open source ones are text only. They're just the ones I can run. I mean, so I have a 3060, so it's a couple steps down. I'm running a Ryzen 5, so a couple steps down. I have 128 gigs of RAM, but that's because I wanted to run VMs on it when I put it together. And then on the M4, I've installed it on the Mac Mini too. And I find the 4 to 8 gig models are the kind of the right size for me. Mm-hmm. And then from a tech standpoint, I haven't come across anything that has given me results where I'm like, oh, that's kind of disappointing.
I haven't either.
You know, they've all come back with similar results as I get in OpenAI, right?
Yeah. I like being able to have it where I can play, especially with DeepSeek, because that made me a little nervous because of the Chinese connection and people are saying they're sending it off. That's why I don't usually run it. Oh,
yeah.
You know, that's why I have this over here kind of locked down. I don't have to worry about it. But yeah, so I haven't had any issues. I think it's the four or five gig model that I'm running with DeepSeek over there through Olama. Yeah. And I think it's great. I mean, it's really cool.
The goal for you though, I mean, okay, you can do all of everything that you do publicly. Like when I say publicly, that's available as a service.
Right.
What's the advantage? Besides privacy?
So
maybe that's the advantage.
My thing was, because I'm thinking with the image, because Dustin Stout, he runs Magi, the company, he's a friend of mine, I've known him for years, and he does a lot of great stuff about, you know, building your own Llama kind of database where it's your face and you can put it in all these different situations, and they look fabulous. And he's doing that with Magi, which I know I could do with my own computer. So my whole goal is to be able to really train my own image and my own style and really lock it down the way I want for my company. And then whenever you're creating images like a Midjourney, you're rolling. It's a dice roll. Like it's constant rolling until you get one you want, then you can modify it, roll it some more. I'm hoping it will take that process and make it shorter because it's just, if I can train it just on my data and really be specific of what I want it to do with some of these image models, I think that it'll save me some time. And I nerd out about the AI stuff. So I want to be able to play and do things and not have to buy a subscription every time.
Yeah. Although this comes in cycles, right? Where you can home grow it. And then eventually the enterprise versions or the paid versions go well beyond because they have access to hardware we just don't have access to. And you decide, you know, you could get into a situation where 3 years from now, it's like, oh, I really want these new models, but that means I have to scrap the $3,000 and scrap. You know what I mean?
Right.
With that. And you're starting to chase money that, I mean, you look at Microsoft and Google and Meta, they're spending billions.
Yeah. Starting up 3 Mile Island or
what? Yeah, no, right on. And so you're kind of thinking like, can I keep up with them?
Right.
From a modularization standpoint, we're still a ways away from this, but do you see a world where, because like these models, by the way, I love your idea of specialization because I too am thinking about, I want to train it on me. I want it to know my voice and understand the work that I'm doing and know my images. And then I want it to process like it does with all that smart stuff that's on the web. Well, smart is in quotes, but I want it to do it. I don't want it to train it on me every time. OpenAI has that ability, right? You could, there's a pretty big repository you could build. You can ask AI, hey, remember this, and it will remember it in a file, and it stays with your account kind of deal. Mm-hmm. But do you imagine a world then where you have the best AI? So you have a language, a true LLM, and then maybe whatever they call the graphics one,
right,
and a right. video one. And you have an interface over the top of that that is managing all three of those and calling the ones it needs for those. Do you see, are you looking for something like that?
I think so eventually. And the other thing is, you know, I love Dustin, and I think it's great what he's doing. I love his tools. But the problem is I get really nervous when these companies are built on other people's APIs.
Oh yeah.
And like, remember Twitter did this, they shut it down. Like, there was whole companies that were built on just using the API and organizing the data in a way that they could parse it out better. And that went away and it killed those companies. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a lot of AI companies where that same thing happens. And so not only do I want to play and have my own kind of, you know, the way I train it, but I also, if it's good enough now, like, it's mine. I have that data. Like, they can turn it off, you know, and like DeepSpeak could be banned in the United States.
Yeah.
I still have it. I still have the distilled model that I can run off of. And so if I find something that works and I can constantly do it and it's still on my computer, then I think that's really cool. You know, it's like, do you want to download the movies from Apple, or do you, you know, cause you're basically leasing them when you buy something on the Apple store, or do you want the DVD? Like, do you want the Blu-ray disc that's yours? So there's kind of that feeling to it as well. It's like, I want this model, if I get it working where I can just run all my show notes every time the way I want them, don't have to jank around, boom, I have it on my own computer, I'm done. You know what I mean?
Jeff, how long is that good for, though, before you start wishing, right?
Hopefully they'll have something where I wouldn't mind paying for a distilled model. Like, if I could get, like, if they got to the point where they're, it's not all, I still think, because AI is so geeky right now, and that's why I like getting back into the PC space, because everybody likes to get their fingers dirty. There's open source, you know, things are going to be cheaper, new things are going to come. So I want to be able to access this. But you're right. I'll get it to like, oh, I want that new image model that actually does video and still images.
Yeah.
How can I do that kind of a thing?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the, you know, this open model kind of reminds me of the Linux model in some regards. And what they found is the money was never in the software. It's always in the service. And so you can get, you know, you can still download Ubuntu or any of the other thousand varieties of Linux that are out there. Mm-hmm. And you can use them for free in most cases. I think I still haven't run across one where you have to pay for the OS, but they always have a servicing model, right? Type deal. Maybe that's, you know, maybe that's the future of this. Brian in chat says, glad to see so many LLMs out there. And there are a ton, right, that are available in the open world. Should be good for competition, allowing for more innovation and keep prices competitive. That's the real question, right? What is today, $20 a month is the price, right? For most things that you're going to get that have AI in them, you're going to spend at least 20 a month for something like that. The problem I've seen on some of those is you're starting to pay 20 here, 20 there, 20 for this, 20 for that. Certainly in your case, it's probably, I mean, Descript is 40 probably, right? For what you're using it for on a monthly basis.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, if you have editors that go in on top of that, there's even more costs that'll come, but, that one I'll happily pay because it has changed, like I said, everything. What I really want is, so right now, and if you go to my Instagram, because I'm speaking at the end of this month at Social Media Marketing World, I'm trying to put out some AI art every day on Instagram. And my last two, I take things that I've generated in Midjourney, and then I take them over to Runway, and then I animate them. I really want a service where I can get Midjourney type still images and then click a button and animate them the way I want.
Yeah.
It's still, like you said, it's compartmentalized out there where I have to put things together, which is fine. You know, that's cool, but I would love it. Like, okay, that's a great image. I want to animate it. Hopefully that will come eventually to the PC. Like the ones where I could do it locally faster than having to do it.
Do you think it will? That's a lot of horsepower.
Right? Yeah, but I got a 4090.
No, I know, but it's more than just local hardware, right?
Right.
From that standpoint.
Right. And especially with images and video stuff, it's even more. But not having to jump around between, Runway already now has a pretty decent, they just kind of put it out there, image generator that I've kind of been playing with. It's pretty good. You know, and then there's like, Flux is doing amazing stuff. That's what I want to run locally over here is the Flux one for images because it's really good. But
as another example of another industry that is come and gone that's like AI right now is storage. So I remember a day when cloud storage was the shiz, right? Everybody was like, cloud storage was 1,000. I even had a cloud storage guide for a while. And it was free. You could get a bunch for free. And then it was like, oh no, we got to charge for this thing. And then it slowly worked its way down. And there's just a few left, you know, of course, Microsoft's out there left. Joe in chat says you got to be careful. The Terminators may visit your locally hosted.
Probably will have
first. They'll smell it out. They'll be like, do you have an LLM in there? I smell it. We need to get rid of it. I hear you on, I'm just kind of wondering, I mean, the development of these, the creation of the LLM takes so much processing power. I just kind of wonder how long these open source ones will be free for.
Yeah, it may not. And that, I mean, that's why I'm glad I got it. Like I'm downloading them now. Cause I can play, I have I'll have a shelf life that's longer than most people before they have to pay to upgrade. Like, and it's funny because I just don't see how like Perplexity is using DeepSeek's that learning mode that they have. If you haven't played with it yet, because it's free right now on Perplexity, it is amazing. And I'm like, how are they doing this? Because I know that deep think kind of stuff takes a lot of horsepower, and that's the kind of the thing that like ChatGPT is charging $200 a month for. To be honest, I'm using Perplexity. I don't use Google anymore. I use Perplexity for everything. Mm-hmm. And so how long are these free? I go to Perplexity to get my news because they have a news button now where they're doing all their news. So are they the new Google? I don't know, but they can't keep giving stuff away for free for so long. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I've mentioned this before, but we in our marketing, and you're in the space, right? We're quickly emphasizing SEO, and we're talking about generative
search optimization.
GSO. Yeah. Something like that, where we're thinking like we're already starting to think like, okay, the days of SEO are over. And if we're going to spend any time, it's how do you feed the AI bots? How they work, right? I mean, you ask somebody like, how do you structure? I mean, SEO has been around so long. You can ask any SEO guy that works for anywhere. How should you structure your sites so that they're SEO friendly? You say to people like, okay, how do you structure your site so they're generative AI friendly? And that they look at you funny, like. Nobody knows.
No,
we don't know. We don't know how these bots or whatever they're using to pull for this stuff from. Yeah. Right. And we have no idea what kind of litigation will happen here in the future around some of this data. Right.
Where there's a guy named Neil Patel, and I just saw him come out. There was an article today where he's talking about this. Cause it's if you go to the Google conferences and they're all like, it's still the same, it's okay. And I'm like this, but you talk to anybody who's in the industry. Like I have a friend who has like a monster. He's got a million Facebook group. He's got huge, he gets all his money from traffic on his website from ads. Mm-hmm. It's plummeted this year since this ran out. Right. And everybody I've talked to who relies on traffic to make the money, it's plummeted. And they're like, what else is it? Even if my mom searches, she's just looking at the snippet, and that's all she's doing. And so it's going to be really interesting how – I think it's going to change everything, like how we search. I just don't I just don't know how Google can. They're going to have to do some new. I know they got Gemini and all this stuff, but I mean, I tell you, I go, yeah, that's a good question. Why did they train on old data? But because, yeah, and now this is, and you've talked about this with Dave, because we're putting out all this generative content, there's a lot of content vomit out there from ChatGPT, and people are just clicking. Easy button.
Oh, yeah.
I've created, so is it training on that too?
Like, some. Yeah.
Because yeah. You remember that movie with Michael Keaton where he was it was Multiplicity, where he had a copy of a copy of a copy. Yeah, and the last version of him was just an idiot. Like, So I'm like, is that what's going to happen? I mean, I don't know.
Well, Jeff, you kind of wonder. I mean, I keep bringing these old examples, but you kind of wonder if we're in the world of LimeWire and I'm trying to, the music, but back when music was being pirated at an incredible, right. There was that 2 or 3 year period, right. Mm-hmm. Where it was just out of control. And then a few people got sued. And a few people got sued, and then Apple figured out how to sell this stuff. And then we all just started paying 99 cents at that point, right? Mm-hmm. Now, we've shifted from 99 cents to just subscription. Just, right. Okay.
Table
just,
bill again.
Yeah. Here's money. I just want to access music. I'm not Napster. Yeah, Tony, thanks. Napster was behind that. LimeWire is the one I'm not, well, allegedly I used. Yeah. Just saying.
I never used
it. It's not confirmed. I didn't. I'm not actually saying I did. Maybe I did. Could have been a mistake. But I kind of feel like AI is in that place right now where we're still trying to figure out. I mean, it's happened so fast that the data inside these LLMs could be completely copyrighted. And, it's going to take a couple court cases to figure this out.
I don't see how they can copyright it, though, because they've ripped off everybody else.
Right? Well, no. Okay. So the original ChatGPT, if we think about there's some, I think News Corp is suing OpenAI or one of those is suing
Post,
to say, hey, look, you took our stuff and you took our content. Listen, I work for Gallup. We could say the same thing. We've put intellectual property out there. It's available out there. No, that's our IP. You can't just grab that. But it was on the open internet. Well, yeah, but it's still our IP, right? And in some cases, it was behind a firewall, is what they're saying.
So this is where I've struggled.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I get text, I have a little less problem with because it was out there and they can train. I mean, they can do Webster's Dictionary, whatever. But with images, because artists have been throwing, a lot of flack up there is because they are trained on artists' images. And then you can create, and the cool thing is I can take all these different artists and combine them together into something new, which you can do. I mean, artists have done this for centuries. Yeah. Only this time, I mean, even Leonardo da Vinci, he learned to sculpt by copying the master's sculpting, right? That's how he learned. Well, now we can do it at the speed of light, right? It's like training is like this. I could make you name an artist, I can go to Midjourney and I can make you Jim in that painting. Like I could do that. Like I can do it. Yeah. So one, is there going to be new art? Like, well, why would artists put anything out, right? Same with musicians. Why should I put anything out if I can just make it with AI? You know, is that going to hit our arts hard? Yeah. Right. And two, what's the ethics on this? I mean, Adobe's trying to do it. They're doing, they're allowing, they're only using the libraries that they've paid for, right? The images or whatever. So for me, it's more of an ethical thing. Like I don't ever use like a named artist very much. If I do, it's like old and like hopefully open source and that kind of stuff. But like people are using their favorite comic book artists and like making art in that way and posting it on their blogs and whatever. I'm like, and that artist never gets compensated for it. So it's kind of an interesting thing. Now here's the thing. It can't come back. You can't put it back in the bag. Like if you wanted to protect your art, you shouldn't have put it on the internet. Right. I mean, it's just not.
Well,
I mean, it's copy. Is it copyrighted? It should be copyrighted and they're training models on that. So I think they have a better legal case for art than I would spoken, I mean, text. I don't know.
Listen, we talk about this all the time with our Clifton Shrink stuff because it's absolutely trademarked and copyrighted what we do. Now, there's so much of it available openly, like, and we've put stuff out openly. If a human were to take our content, put it on their site, we could easily go to them and issue a takedown. Say, you're copying our stuff. The AI, man, in our stuff in AI is pretty good. Like, you're like, wow. Like, the training on this, I can ask it some pretty good questions, and it comes back with some good stuff. Is that based on our IP or not? Nobody, I'll be Nate Brigetti, right? Nobody knows.
Like, I'm pretty sure.
Nobody knows.
It's like, because I can make it go into Midjourney now and make a great thing of that looks like Vincent Van Gogh did it. And I'm sure they went to Wikipedia and scraped all of Vincent Van Gogh's paintings.
Sure.
Like, and I mean, if it's on Wikipedia, is that fair use or not? Famous artists? I mean,
I know.
It's the, and then music's, the whole other thing. Music is the stuff you can create AI now. I mean, I think stock libraries are gone. I never go to my, I used to use digital deposit photos is what I use for all my art. I haven't used those in all this year, most of them last year. I just don't use them anymore because I make my own.
Yeah. So I'm the other day, just maybe 2 days ago, I'm at my desk. I've got an intern who's, you know, she's 22, maybe whatever. Right. We're going through some website stuff and she goes, we're on LinkedIn and she, I go through, there's a video that plays. I won't mention the organization, but she goes, oh, that's AI. I mean, in a second goes, that's AI. And then she goes, that's disgusting. Now it was just a business video. It was just showing people,
right,
you know, doing regular things. It's not like it was inappropriate content or anything like that. But it was interesting to see her reaction. I mean, she's in the middle of this AI explosion. And she goes, she points it out right away and goes, then her brand reaction was, that's disgusting. Like, that's not real marketing.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if there's going to be, you know, we're using these AI images. They're pretty easy to detect. You know, they still have, you know, seven fingers and weird.
They're getting, I mean, I'm telling you, Midjourney stuff is good. It's really, this is the worst it's going to be. And what gets me is she's pointing that out going, because I can look and I can usually tell. So I don't like DALL-E images. I can always see, that was made with ChatGPT.
They look bubbly. They look bubbly and over, like they have too much makeup on.
Something. But it's like when Canva came out, the designers were throwing a fit about Canva and they would like, and I could remember going, oh, there's a Canva template. Oh, there's a Canva template.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know. Yeah.
But like, here's the thing, when it's the worst it's going to be.
Yeah.
But I use AI all the time in my audio podcast. So Guy, he has trained his voice. And so when he bonks his mic or something, or he says something wrong and doesn't catch it, I just go back in and type it. And it says in his voice, you cannot tell. You cannot tell.
Yeah.
So it's coming for that way with images. It just really is. I mean, it may not be there yet and you might be able to point it out, or people are just lazy too.
Yeah.
They're just like, I'll just hit a button.
Well, Jeff, you might be onto something here, though. So when Guy, you know, okay, so it's my voice. It's his voice, right? Mm-hmm. You're using it in the context of repairing or fixing his audio, right? It's done with his permission. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a very specific use case. And I kind of wonder, with some of the other things that we have going on, if the general use of AI, when we're creating things based on other people's IP, or we're creating things that, you know, and you said it yourself when we started this podcast, like, you're most interested in creating a well-trained LLM that really pulls from the content, whether that's your content as a content creator or the content that you're creating for other people. And I'm kind of wondering. Yeah, I just, it makes me wonder, like, is the day of the open LLM that scraped the whole internet. Are those days numbered? Because at some point, this is going to go to court, and someone's going to be like, you can't do
but
this.
Right? Here's the problem, though. It's our court may block a certain LLM, but you know other countries aren't. Sure.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that. And you know, they, but DeepSeek's, you know, there's some censorship from China and stuff, but I just think it's going to be, I mean, yeah, I think there will be lawsuits and then it'll be pop up. And I just don't see how we're going to get away from it. It's really interesting with the legal stuff, what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. What's interesting is you were talking about, you're creating the content. I went to my own site and I talked about some content I created using ChatGPT, and that content was how to use ChatGPT for quick and easy translations. So I had ChatGPT create the content for like basically a learning module for itself. Mm-hmm. It did a pretty good job. That that page does pretty well from a search perspective, right? Now, to your point, I put that out at a point in time. The date on that is March 18th, 2023. So 3 years ago.
Right.
No, sorry. 2 years ago. It's only 2025. maybe a little too much whiskey, but 2020, that was 2 years ago. Does that at some point become a part of the record? Like the copy of the copy of the copy, right? I created an article. It gets in there. Does that reinforce the stuff that they do in the future, and then it becomes a point of record to the Bitcoin point, right? In Bitcoin, right? The network consensus is everything. The whole idea is you create 1,000 versions of the truth and one person can't come in and change it
right.
And it changes the whole blockchain. Do we see that same thing? I mean, cause I think at some point we're going to have to come to what is the source of truth, and do we need a blockchain to control AI?
Yeah, that might be the only thing, because the open source nature of blockchain that you could do it with.
Yeah.
Back to the image thing, I think there's going to have to be some way, and a blockchain might be able to do this, where you have a little watermark for the artist. Now, if you try to take even stuff now, like I've been doing it for in Midjourney, there's signals that will send if you just put that image to like Instagram, it'll give you the AI like tag. But you can circumvent it by taking it to Photoshop, flattening the image, and then uploading it again. So there's all these, they're trying, and most of it feels like they're trying to rubber stamp things so they can say they're trying to be proactive. But there's always ways around it is what's going to happen. So.
Yeah. I actually think the voice, the voice print concept of this will happen first. So I have a voice print. You have a voice print. Like, I can make a robot, you know, I can make a AI version of you using 11 labs and one of your podcasts, I can make you, then I could use your voice. I think the blockchain is in a perfect spot for you to submit your voice to say like, hey, this is me. This is validated. However they do that. I don't know how they would even do that, but this is me. This is validated. And then when someone wants to know real or not, it has to go back to the blockchain, right? And say, hey, is this the real
guy?
Or was this AI, kind of an AI spoof, so to speak? I actually think that could and probably should happen, because that technology is going fast, right? And that is something to worry about, of being able to make you, and you can make me say absolutely anything.
Right? I could go to your YouTube channel and take a minute of your content. And I did that when I was speaking at Lou. He was at his Momentum event, Lou Mangiello. He's a big podcaster.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so I went into his podcast, downloaded a thing, and I did it through 11 labs. And at that time you just had to say, yes, I say this is me, you know, that's all you have to do is click a box. And I wrote my own intro. Like, he introduced me and I said, that's not very good. Here's one that I like better. And then I had him, like, it was over the top. Like, Jeff, I wish Jeff was the, you know, this dad I never had, over the top in his voice with his inflections.
Yeah.
And people's, when they heard it, they're just like, you know, and their mouths dropped open. And then the translation stuff you can do. What interests me, and I think will happen, we're talking about the compartmentalizing and kind of the component section, is these AI agents. Because right now, you and I, like, okay, we're doing show notes. We may go to Captivate. We put it in there. We may write it in ChatGPT and then copy and paste it and clean it up over here. I think it's going to be to the point where we tell the AI, I use Captivate. Here, I'm going to type it out and then write my show notes, and then automatically we'll post it to Captivate. It'll get all the stuff that needs to be done and get ready for us to click one button to hit okay.
Submit.
That, yeah, I think that's going to be very cool when my personal AI agent can do that on, you know, on my own PC, where I can tell it what programs to use, how I want it to run, what kind of pipeline I want it to go through. I think that's the next thing, and I think that's going to be huge for productivity, especially when it comes to like our PC, where we can just get it all set up once, and then now I have a flow for every show. It's going to write them and post them to YouTube the way it needs to, Instagram, all those different things. So agents are I think one of the exciting things in this kind of.
I don't disagree with you. Microsoft, and I'm trying to remember the name of this, but built into Windows 10 and 11 is a agent like this that you can actually now, it's got a text field. You just type in what you want to do, and it writes the code to automate that for you in Windows. And it's, I don't know why this isn't a bigger deal than it is. Maybe it doesn't work very well. you know, maybe it breaks if you breathe on it wrong.
Right.
I found it a while back, and then I quickly forgot about it. Talked to somebody about it, and then I was like, oh yeah, whatever. But no, I don't disagree with you. I think, listen, my workflow now, I need this for the Mac, and maybe I can use, there's some automations on the Mac to say, hey, I'm done with the podcast. Now do these things and go do this and grab that and push it here. That's not, I don't think it's that hard.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So yeah, Tony says Copilot. No, Tony, it's actually an application built into Windows that nobody knows is there. I found it because I was searching for some automation pieces. I'll find it here in just a second and mention it. But it is definitely something built into Windows nobody uses. It's amazing. You have to install it. You have to do some other things to make it work. But I'll see if I can track that back down. I forgot the name of that.
Some of the stuff, even with this deep thinking like Perplexity is doing, for research, being able to do some stuff more than it was able to do, you should play with it. Because I don't know. When I've used it, I haven't gotten blocked out of it. I don't know how long that's going to last. But some of the, it won't go in like, it's mostly an agent for the web. Like it goes out more and does that kind of stuff and actually does a really good job with the follow-up questions and things. But really easily, I think it's going to be able to go in and, you know, we'll be able to tell it to actually do more actions at the end of those results. So I'm excited to play with those.
I don't actually, in Windows, I think you have more power, and I'll have to find this application. Okay. You have more power than you know in this thing. And it actually has a box. You can just type in what you want to do. I mean, it has now that's a Copilot like thing. You just type in what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I have some Microsoft Excel things that I interact with on a daily basis. I just need to figure out how to program that thing. Cause today I'm clicking. I don't know if I need to click anymore. They're the same clicks every time. I'm doing the same things, right?
So here's like a workflow that I think these AI is going to be really, and this is from the image kind of creation.
Yeah.
So if you go into my, just Jeff C, look at the Instagram post, the last yesterday's. So I created this really cool 1950s kind of comic book of a girl in a spacesuit looking at this giant alien. Like it's bigger than her. And it's really cool. And I wrote a thing about like facing your fears or whatever. So I made that Midjourney. I didn't like the alien, didn't look alien enough for me. So I took it into Photoshop and I just drew around its big alien eye and replaced it with a big like eyeball that looked really alien-y, right? So I took it from Midjourney into Photoshop. Okay, then Photoshop, I took that image and uploaded it to Runway and then had her animate walking towards the alien. Looked really, really cool. But all those steps, eventually, I think it's going to be in one program. Like, create the image, change it out, do some in painting on it, and then animate it. And then even further, it's going to be able, okay, animate it to this beat so it has a soundtrack that matches her walking. Yeah. I think that, and ends with an explosion or whatever. Yeah. I think that's going to happen. And as an, like a creative, that's cool. That's stuff like I dreamed about when I was a boy. Like the frustration of not being able to take what's in my mind and put it on paper or on my screen for creative storytelling, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I just can't wait till the technology catches up even more to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. No, right on. I think we're getting there. Right. I mean, I think the next step is putting all those pieces together, kind of what we started with, which is, you know, putting those pieces together to be able to say, and I think it's going to be in a text box that you just say, create for me. You won't even think about all the things that are going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
One of the things I've seen in AI recently is the prompt, I'm thinking about it or I'm working on it. And so, you know, like it's gone off, it's doing its thing. I need to wait for it to come back because it's creating some stuff. So, super cool, Jeff. Thanks for an interesting conversation. Congratulations on that PC. Like that's
fun. Dude, it was a fun little project. So
When did you build it? When was it done?
It was right after Christmas. I kind of started throwing together in the holidays and kind of finished it up after.
Did you I forget the name of the site. You can go to a site.
PC Part Picker. Yeah, the Part Picker.
Did you have a
Part Picker? Oh, I haven't put it up there, my own thing, but I would look at that and that's how I'd find prices and double check. Like,
you didn't make your own list of things or anything?
No, I mean, I need to, because I think showing off the Empire Strikes Back PC is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I changed the radiator came with its own fans, but they're cheap looking fans. And so I changed some stuff off on the list. But it was a lot of fun. I recommend it. You don't have to go nuts like I did, but I think everybody who's a little bit geeky, the average guy, should try building their own PC once in
this life. Group pretty pretty savvy,
right?
Like the folks listening to this, they're pretty savvy. The question would be, I think you actually picked a good time. You know, I bought a couple years ago, knowing I'd keep it there for 3 to 4 years. You know, the whole goal, I had the guys over at Think Computers, there we go, help me build this thing, and the whole goal was to have it 3 to 5 years. Right now you built this at Christmas pre-tariffs.
Yeah, like that was the thing. I knew they were coming, so I was I got my graphic card quick because I knew they were gonna go up.
You start kind of wondering, like, is it too late? I mean, are we in a spot? I haven't been tracking like video card prices or,
you know, the 4090 was hard to get. Like, I thought, and then get this little side note.
Yeah.
They sent it to me in the box with just a sticker on it. Like, Amazon shipped it without a box. And I'm like, if this would have come anywhere else, it would have been gone. Like, they had no idea that this was a $2,000 card sitting out leaning against my front door. I was like, are you kidding me? Anyway, I was surprised it made it.
Actually. No, so for seriously.
Yeah.
Listen, I ordered a $7 thing I plug into my generator, and it's got a cigarette lighter port on the outside because I need the pump I'm going to use for my generator that refills the tank when it gets empty.
Right.
It's $15.99, maybe not even that. Could have been $9.99, right? They sent that as a box. They sent that in a bag that was covered, right? Your video, like the other day, I bought the pump that I bought was $170.
Right.
It came in another big box. You'd think for a $2,000 video card.
It was actually the actual box with just the sticker on it. And I'm like, what are you doing? Because they'll send chapstick. Like, we'll get a thing that we get from Amazon, you know, we get the subscribe and save or whatever.
Yeah.
And they'll send a monster box with all this paper in it and our chapstick. And I'm like, and you would not do that with the graphics card? That's come crazy. On.
I know. Anyway. I know. It's a $2,000. I've been thinking, with everything going on, I think maybe I'll shop Walmart more than I'll shop Amazon these days. You know,
you have to check prices because sometimes Amazon, I mean, Walmart jacks them up.
Too, sometimes Amazon jacks them up.
Yeah. I was lucky. I mean, that was the hardest component to find, was that graphics card.
Yeah. I bet it was.
So
I bet it was. John Biggs in the chat says, you should see the size of windshield wiper boxes. What did I order? I ordered something that was like that like that size. It was skinny and long. Yeah. And they put it in a giant box. Now, those guys packing those things, I mean, first of all, the machines are doing most of the decision making. Like, it's right. this big by this big.
Right.
You're put, we're, this is the box you make. I'm sure there's some kind of automation that goes along with that that just says, hey, it's cheaper for us just to put it in this box, throw some paper in it. It's going to be fine and ship it to, you know, ship it to this person. Yeah. But it's, hey, my wife orders sports drinks, you know, like energy drinks through
it. You know, they hate you. They're like, this is so freaking heavy. It is. You know, like, I'm going to just throw this stuff out. Yeah.
The FedEx guy, we ordered for a lot of years. And actually the last couple of weeks we're back on the crack, but we did HelloFresh for a long time. Right.
Yeah.
And my FedEx guy at one point was like, can I, cause we have a package box that you have to set, you know, you're supposed to set the things in. And he was like, these boxes are so heavy. Can I just put it on the outside? We're like, you know, Nick, that's fine. Just put it on the outside of the box. It's fine. Yeah. We'll come pick it up kind of thing. But now Brian says we recently picked up a new mattress from Amazon. Now that box was huge. I ordered a wagon. I got a Gorilla wagon for my generator. Yeah. Right. So surprisingly, the generator is the exact width of these. Like, I didn't know this, like 20 inches, 20 and a half inches, whatever that is in centimeters, is a standard width for some of these carts, these containers. They're all about 20 and a half inches. And so I ordered this Gorilla cart that I wanted to, you know, big fat wheels on it so I can pull this generator. Fit perfectly in this Gorilla cart. I was like, who would have thought that the generator folks and the cart folks are in cahoots to have the same
size? Great though, yeah.
But that was Amazon. That came via FedEx. It was heavy enough. He rolled it up in a. It wasn't that heavy, to be honest. But he rolled it up in a dolly, and he put it at the garage, not the front door, because the front door has steps. So Sarah was like, it came at 9. She was like, did you bring the package in? It's at the garage door. I mean, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. Yeah. Nobody will take it, you know, kind of thing. But the mechanics of boxes right now, it's a whole new thing. It's crazy.
It's crazy what they're not putting in boxes now too.
Yeah. Well, let's see if any other chat. Let's see. So John says, can you put a link in for the generator cart in chat? I will, John. If you hang tight, John, I'll do it in the post show. So, Jeff, thanks for coming out. Can you hang tight while I close this thing up?
Yeah,
it'd be great. Did we cover everything? Do you think we covered
it? I don't know. It's your show. I just showed up. You left the door open. So
no, thanks for coming out and being a part of it. Okay, hang tight. A couple reminders on the way out here. Join our Discord group, theaverageguy.tv/Discord. That's actually gotten kind of quiet over the last couple of weeks. If you want to post a chat out there, you got a deal, some of those kinds of things, you can drop that there. Of course, that's where I announce the show and who's coming on and some of those kinds of things. It's a pretty easy group. We don't spam you. theaverageguy.tv/Discord. You can, of course, contact me via email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. And then don't forget theaverageguy.tv platform. Both web and media hosting powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. And you know that's Christian. He's coming back on here in a couple of weeks because I don't have him scheduled. I need to get that done. He's got plans still as little as $10 a month. Check it out today. MapleGrovePartners.com. And you know he's doing a great job. So Christian, appreciate your sponsorship for that. We are live. I mentioned we're back on HelloFresh, but my coupon or my affiliate link has long since expired. So if you're going to do HelloFresh, just do it. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. I think I got next week's open. I may fill it, but Gavin Campbell is coming. I got Ed Sullivan lined up to talk about his new EV. Jeff, have you gotten bit by the EV bug? Are you?
I would love to. I mean, this is... I think they're so ugly. They remind me of the Volkswagen things, but I like the Cybertrucks. I know.
Really?
They're so ugly.
I almost bought one. They are.
Did you really?
Yeah.
They're so ugly, but they remind me of the Volkswagen thing, and I always thought those were cool.
Yeah.
But we have a hybrid, but we lease it because I still don't know what they're going to do with the batteries.
Okay. Yeah. What year, what'd you get? from a hybrid standpoint?
It's a CRV.
Honda.
Which I love. Yeah.
Honda CRV.
Love
yeah.
It. It's really
yeah,
good.
They seem to be the king of hybrid. They don't, everybody else kind of went either EV or ICE, right? Honda still kind of kept the hybrid idea around, right?
I mean, it gets great gas mileage. I love the tech in there, the wireless AirPlay. There's so many cool things about it. I leased it because when I asked them, like, when I have to replace the battery, like, what's that going to run me? And like, we're not really sure. It's like maybe like $3,000 to $6,000. And I'm like, you don't know? Okay, well, yeah, we're going
to
lease it.
I had to replace mine.
And oh, really?
$4,000. Yeah.
So I'm like,
no, I didn't replace it. I got lucky and bought the extended warranty.
Good.
Yeah. So I lucked out.
But what model is yours?
Well, it was an old one, 06 Civic.
Okay.
Yeah, way back in the day. But it was, they're not cheap. And it's not like its batteries are getting cheaper at this point. So it's one of those kinds of things. Anyways, well, we will be back next week. Oh, I was mentioning, I'll have Ed. Ed's got, listen, when we have Ed on, he's coming on the 3rd. You're going to want to be here because you have no idea. You would never guess in a million years the EV that Ed bought. It's going to be awesome. So you're going to want to come out. He's coming on the 3rd. I got Aaron Lawrence scheduled for the 17th of April and then Mike Winkers back on the 24th. If you're listening live, thanks for coming out. If you're listening to the podcast, thanks for listening. With that, I'll say goodbye.